Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So we thank God for the leaders of Mount Zion and the great work they're doing to unify us and create an atmosphere for maturity. Yesterday, we had our advanced training. The testimony was amazing. God is empowering the body of Christ here. Amen. We thank God for all that the Lord has told you, and we give Him all the glory. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
I really struggled a lot this morning about what the Lord wanted to say to us, because there was just so much that the Lord is doing. And when we come here to pray, I mean, it's such a floodgate of revelation to watch. So you don't want to just share things. You want to hear what God is saying and what He's saying specifically for the moment. So there was just a lot. So I believe by God's grace, amen.
Amen.
We are receiving specifically what the Lord wants for us today. Father, I thank you. Holy Spirit of truth, we depend on you. We are nothing but your oracles. We thank you. Speak to us. Speak to us by us. Speak to us and grant us understanding. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Let's open to Habakkuk. Book of Habakkuk, chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. I want to read verse. Yes, this is better. Thank you. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision down. Write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end he shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry, it will not be delayed. A very familiar scripture we also know is Jeremiah chapter 1 from verse 5, for it says, God, the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah says, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. And while you were in your mother's womb, I set you apart. He said, I sanctified you and I ordained you to be a prophet. Meaning, that's for Jeremiah. Amen?
Amen.
And then in the book of Isaiah 64, verse 4, he says that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who wait upon Him.
Yes.
First Corinthians says that these things are revealed to us by His Spirit. For no man knows the spirit of a man, but the spirit of man that is in him. So, also, no man knows the things of God, but the Spirit of God. So these things are revealed to us by the Spirit. The Spirit of God knows all things. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. One of the greatest struggle as believers all through history is understanding destiny, understanding purpose why we're here, understanding our calling, and faithfully serving God before we leave this world. And also understanding the times and the seasons that we live in. Amen?
Amen.
Every one of us sitting here, individually, this scripture applies to us. God knew us before we were born. So when we came in the flesh, we were clothed. And this human, our humanity doesn't have the capacity to know what God already has in mind, except it's revealed by the Spirit. And also, corporately, God has a destiny for churches, for generations, for a city, for nations. And God has times and seasons for all of them. Now, because of where the Lord is taking us, let me quickly mention a few examples in the Bible that you're familiar with. God had a destiny for Joseph to be part of what he's going to do in his time. And then the Lord revealed it to him. And though his brother, everybody was part of that, but he had a significant role to play in the process. So you all know the story. Joseph received the vision, and then things started happening from that moment until the vision came to pass. So that's a personal revelation of how your life can be part of a corporate destiny of God's plan in a generation. Also, nations like Egypt had a destiny. The destiny was spoken to Abraham by God before time, that a nation will keep Israel for 400 years, and after that they will release their destiny. And that nation happens to be Egypt. And the destiny and the life of Egypt was determined by what God foreknew before time. So when the time came for Egypt to finish that aspect of their calling, it was in the generation of Moses, and he understood that time and season. Also, the nation of Babylon had a destiny. In the book of Daniel, you see there where Nebuchadnezzar was raised up and defeated other nations and became an empire, a superpower, as you call it in those days. For one reason, it was for God to use him to bring about the fulfillment of judging Israel and chastening them. And the time for Babylon to fulfill that was 70 years, prophetically by the Lord through Jeremiah. And that was Babylon rose to power because they were going to fulfill their purpose. And then at the end, after they fulfilled the purpose, God brought them down and raised another nation at the Medes and the Persians. So, individually, also with the nation of Israel, and corporately with the nations of the world, this word is true, that God knew us before we were born, and God had a purpose and a plan. Habakkuk now gave us one of the keys. When you live in any generation, to personally be able to live a purposeful life in God and a successful life, if you are called into ministry or you have anything to do with a church, to live a purposeful life and successful in what God is calling you to do. And if it's a city or a nation, when understanding is given, for that city to fulfill their calling, or that nation to fulfill their calling and their purpose without deviating. So Habakkuk said that key is vision. Amen?
Amen.
Vision is the ability to see. In the physical, I can see everybody here, isn't it? That's vision. But again, vision has characteristics. The aspect of the vision that Habakkuk was talking about here, God was revealing to him, was destiny. Meaning God's plan, God's purpose, and God's strategy for that to be fulfilled. All through the book of Daniel, you see that many times God gives dreams. God gave dreams, and understanding has to come through prayer for them to understand those visions and God's plan. So, in this book of Habakkuk, God is calling every one of us not only to have a personal vision physically for our life, to have a purpose-driven life, but spiritually to have a kingdom-driven life, so that we can fulfill the intention of our being here in Christ. And to be able to do that, in the Old Testament, it was not possible for everybody to always have these visions. So God would either give to this person, Joseph, or to Abraham, or to Moses, or all these individuals were having these things as it relates to the corporate world. To the corporate body. And sometimes many people don't understand it, and so they end up not working with that vision to fulfill it, because they think it's from somebody. But thank God for the New Testament. God knew that the dispensation we're living in, we need to have understanding, and we all need to have vision. So God said through the prophet Joel that a generation will come, a dispensation will come, a time will come when I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, so that my sons and daughters will have vision. And my old men will have dreams, meaning vision are also true dreams. So God's desire is that we have visions. Or whether they come through dreams, or whether they come through the word, we have visions. We understand purpose. Amen?
Amen.
That's why the Spirit is poured out. Amen.
Amen.
Now, when visions are given, Habakkuk 2 talks about the timing of vision received, the waiting process, which is basically preparation process, and then the transition process, the fulfillment process that brings about a transition, and then manifests the very fruit and purpose of that vision, God's intent. So this little foundational groundwork I just share with you is to jump us to something I wanted to share with you, just to give you a background. Amen.
Amen.
Like Joseph, at the time of the fulfillment of vision, God started giving him understanding of the days of Pharaoh. Like Moses, like the various prophets, you can see God always gives them understanding of that times of fulfillment. Like the children of Issachar, God started giving them understanding of what Israel ought to know during the days of David and in their time. So they don't miss the purpose and plan of God. All of you that are, most of you that have been in this house have been following, you've heard a lot for a long time. So those that have not been following, you can go listen to some of our media, some of the teachings on the website. you will not miss the ones that has to do with the vision of America and so many other things. So for that, let me just quickly jump to this. Last week, about 4 years ago, God gave us a vision through a prophetic word that came for an assignment we have to do in Washington, D.C. at the beginning of the year, end of January. And we've been doing that. This was the fourth time. And we all know we just came out of a transition, and the Lord has been speaking to us that this is, we've entered the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, the favor of the Lord and the vengeance of the Lord. And we've been sharing that. So as we're preparing to go to DC, there were so much announcements from news media alluding to more findings of the FBI investigating all the fears in the land and beefing up their security and leaving more a few soldiers while the rest has to leave. You heard all the news about the need to protect and secure the life of the Congress people, the senators, because they were under threat. And the alert was very heightened by the Homeland Security and all that was being said. As this was going on, there was a lot, because I felt the need to be really watchful about certain news. The news about the security was so much, the protection was so much, and I was getting message that, why do you have to go to DC at this time? There's COVID everywhere, there's more heightened stories, DC is not the best place to be at this time. There's so much, and then coupled with the news, just pounding it and talking about it. At a moment, I had to pray and say, because it was too much, and we have a team of people going, and you don't want to endanger people's life. So it's like this voice of confrontation. Why do you have to go to DC? People are saying you shouldn't go, or this is not the time to go. Everybody, you know, stay back. You don't have to travel. You know, this is, and again, that place is too much security. Why not organize these things? Already we had the mind we'll do that if the crisis in the nation over-escalates. But this time it was, everything was now calm. But there was this voices talking about resisting the need for this. And as the voice escalated, I had a text message, do you have to go to DC at this time? Basically, why not you think again? So I went into prayer, and the Lord reminded me about vision and obedience. And the basis of obedience is hearing from God clearly. Yes. And as I was waiting on the Lord and praying, are we supposed to go? God, you know, I just want to be clear. I don't want to do anything. You might not really feel what I was feeling because of all the bombardment of the news. I was in my closet. I was praying. I just want to hear from you. I just want to be clear. If we're to go to this trip, because of all the people turning, said, we're not coming, we can't come. And other people, a few people committed they were coming. Pay attention to why I'm saying this, because it has to do with your life, with your purpose, with hearing God. And the Lord reminded me this season we are in. See, the season we are in is the season that power has changed hands. It's a season, like we've been saying over and over, it's not an imagination. It's a season that God has taken control. Amen. This is God's time. Amen. And things have changed. In the spirit, this is God's hour. And God is now weighing nations, weighing things in the balance. And God is going to be dealing, is going to be rewarding things. That's the season we are. And when the season changes hands, God is already guarantees us this is now our reward is favor. For those who've been waiting, our reward is favor. And favor is you are under the cloud of the Spirit of the Lord. And what God wants to do. So as soon as God reminded me that service, and I perceive is speaking to me about the moment. So I was very convinced we are going, it's time to go. That was settled. As soon as I came out, the next thing I saw in the news was, oh, these they need to increase the security of the Congress people, and they start checking this, checking that. I mean, so much, it was too late. I've already received the word from the Lord. We are going. So we prepared and we headed out to DC. And all that news and rumor and all the things that was said, I was imagining in my mind, I was thinking, and all the confusion, there was not even anything like that. I didn't see one soldier. The normal police presence on traffic, I didn't even see that one. The road was clear, the city was normal. People were doing business as always. Maybe inside the capital, there might be. But the GPS took us to Constitution Avenue. We went through that whole Washington Monument area, went to where we're going to pray, and was there under the presence of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I learned a lot. It changed my life. This is not the season to walk by sight. Not only that, when we went to this meeting, the personal encounter I had there and the word the Lord gave has changed my life. It took me to another level of not only understanding the season, but another level of spiritual authority.
Amen.
While we were there, before I say the two things that I want you to be aware of, and then share with you the grace for you to enter this season prophetically. Before I share those a few prophetic words, when the atmosphere changes in the spirit and God speaks to you and say, this is my season, things have changed in the spirit, just like there was a shift from Trump to Biden. We saw that physically. And we saw Biden sworn in. The moment he was sworn in, power was obvious, he shifted hands. You can see the executive orders, you can see the trust of the nation's power came upon him. And then Trump lost that influence, isn't it? Physically. In the spirit, it's the same. It's the same. But the difference is that ours is over the spiritual realm.
Hallelujah.
God already has established that power has shifted over the atmosphere. It doesn't matter who is the president of America or the president of any part of the nation. The program of God is now in place. And everything will happen based on the will of God.
Yes.
Now God will execute his agenda. That's why the season we're living in, you will be the most successful person if you do what God told Joshua. Stay with the word of God. Understand, meditate, stay with what God is saying and doing, and that's how you walk in success. So, when power changes hands in the spirit, and there's an understanding to it, obedience is how you begin to experience it. Like what happened with this. It was one test, confirmation, where the Lord is in charge. So, two examples in the Bible that you can relate to. The handwriting of the enemy ruled over the atmosphere of the kingdom of Persia in the days of Esther. That the children of Israel, they were under a handwriting that restrained them from speaking, from acting. They were under an atmosphere of destruction that was hanging over them for a whole year. And that was because in the spirit, principalities and powers and rulers of darkness were dominating. So the people in the physical were yielding, were being blinded and yielded to that cancer. And you all know this story. When they prayed and the atmosphere shifted in the spirit, when government shifted in the spirit, we can look now and know what that means. We talked about when government shifted in the spirit. Esther did not sit at home and say, things have changed in the spirit, so everything will just fall on my lap. You have to walk by faith. Faith is the ability to believe what you've had in the spirit, and what you see in the natural is contrary to where you're going. A lot of times we get breakthroughs in the spirit, but then for us to walk it out in faith or confess what we receive by faith over the situation, we're still repeating the same problem. Or the problem is here and we're running here instead of walking in that direction. And we see if that breakthrough has transitioned to the physical realm. So the biggest problem we have as believers is not that our prayers are not effective, but our faith is not in alignment with our breakthroughs. Our walk is contrary to our talk. Obedience is faith walk. Why is it faith? Because you're looking in the physical, things have not changed. Your obedience is what changes it. If you have got victory in the spirit. So Esther, in the physical, everybody knew she cannot go that direction. And guess what? Death is already established under the law. Amen?
Amen.
We read it. We know it. But what did she do? Because of somebody sensitive to a breakthrough in the spirit and believed it, she walked in the direction that is contrary to her life. And by stepping out by faith, she activated what was supposed to be released in the physical. In the place of death, in the place of sentence, she now released the atmosphere of favor. And the king, blindness, darkness was broken, and all he saw was light and glory. And that changed the whole realm from that point forward. That's one. Another one is four lepers. For this number of years, the enemy, because of the sin of Israel, has taken over the atmosphere of the nation. And in the physical, the enemy of the Syrians has besieged Israel. And whenever there's a siege of the enemy, it creates lack. It robs your identity for success. Because now you are overwhelmed by lack. You are overwhelmed by fear. You're surrounded. Everything about Israel was subject to defeat, fear, lack, everything. And so they were living a very, very demoralized life. No money, sick, everything was taking place in Israel. No food, famine to crisis. So those are signs of the siege, both in the physical and in the spiritual. Whenever our identity does not match with what God has provided for us, you know there's been an attack or a siege. So, and it was because of sin. So now, Israel has served their punishment long enough. And God told Elijah the season is over. And there's a change of situation in the spirit. And he said, actually, it will begin this 24 hours time. I mean, poverty, people were eating, I mean, no food, bad situation, and he said, change has taken effect, and you will see it in 24 hour time. The prophet said it. He has never missed a word that never came to pass. So everybody knew that that's the word of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
But the problem is, the source of breakthrough is surrounded by the enemy. The very enemy that has caused them to be in the situation they are very aware of that enemy. So nobody dare move out towards the enemy. Nobody dare foolishly confront the enemy. But God says, power has changed. The atmosphere has changed. It was clearly spoken, not by a prophet that just started today, but somebody whose words have been consistently the clear word of God. So Israel heard it. One of the king's servants said, even if God opened window from heaven, showing how impossible what God says would be. Showing the weight of the impossibility of it. So it's not a small thing. But my brothers, all things are possible with God.
Yes.
And then God is looking for people to believe with Him so that those impossibilities can be a testimony.
Mm-hmm.
So when they heard that word, nobody could go. Nobody knew what to do. The prophet didn't do anything, nobody did anything about it. So God had to stir up the heart, quickened four levers, and told them, go in the direction. God was just looking for faith to move in that direction of obedience. I guess sometimes when you have come to a place of weakness, you don't have nothing to lose. Everybody else that has something to lose still was walled in Samaria. The lepers said, we don't have anything to lose. We are lepers, nobody wants us. If we go in there, we die of famine. If we go to the enemy, they will kill us. We don't have anything to lose. We are like dead people anyway. But if they save us, we'll still be alive. So I think many times we don't obey God because of our reputation. We have so much to lose. So they obeyed and they moved, and the Bible said, that's one of the most powerful scriptures personally I've meditated for years in my life about obedience. And the four lepers has been my, what I call my spiritual mentors, in terms of God takes the weak things of this world to do great things. So they obeyed, and it says at twilight when they took step, say the angels of the Lord moved from the first step they took, God started moving. So the moment heaven is clear and God finds feet that moves in the direction of where God is going, the cloud is going, There is no enemy there. Why? Because the Bible says, when we come under the anointing of the Lord, Isaiah 45, or like it did to Cyrus, there's a promise God gave. He says, I will go before you.
Amen.
When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, as long as they are under the cloud goes before them. So there's no way God will order your step by the Spirit, that God will lead you where He's not already cleared the way. So by the time they got to the place, based on what the scripture said, the angels have already gone there. The Syrian army heard a sound. The feet of the lepers became chariots of army. And it says the enemies, they were not running, they were fleeing. As they were fleeing, they felt the lepers were coming, they were sounding more like chariots chasing them down. They said they left the things they were carrying so that they can be lighter to run faster. God didn't want them to take anything with them. Guess what happened? The lepers became the richest people in the land of Israel. Became the most influential people. Became the source of restoration to Israel because of obedience. Obedience of one man. So that's an example. When things change in the spirit, nothing changes in the physical until God finds faith. That's partnership. So you can look all through the Bibles and you see a lot of examples like that with Moses and the Red Sea and so many things. So this trip, it's like God already prepared something there. And He was just waiting for us to get there. So if what the Lord has spoken wasn't clear that we should go, I would not be sitting here today in my spirit with a layer of testimony that have changed my life. Experience. Amen.
Amen.
Let's open to the book of Matthew, chapter 10, before then I'll share those two parts. Matthew chapter 10, just keep your scripture there. Now, what I will have liberty to share with you, at least two things. One, of course, the Lord really edified, strengthened, or just powerful word that came, prophetic word that came and encouraged people. A lot of things were spoken. And some were personalized to people and some were for the body of Christ. Which if you're curious, I think they had them recorded. But what the Lord did for me, and I'm beginning to find this out more, from last year, I thought it's like God was revealing some things specifically so that the people, of course, the people will receive what God is doing in this season. But I found out all the things the Lord has been revealing since last year was not just for the people. It's for the nation, it's for the people, but it was more for me. It was for my growth. It was for me to grow. It was for me to transition. It was for me to understand the season. It was to prepare me for where God is going. The reason I personalize it is because I know it's for all of us. But the Bible says only those who have ears to hear will hear.
Amen.
So if nobody is receiving these things, I know personally it has changed me. And I know it's changing as many that will take this thing serious. So, God was speaking all the words He's been speaking last year, or revealing them. And as they were coming to pass in their seasons, God was restoring and confirming confidence in the voice of God and restoring faith in what is doing in this season. So, in the meeting, Lord spoke two things to me. One was about Nigeria, which I was not expecting. My mind never goes to Nigeria at all, because I pray for Nigeria, of course, but the assignment is placed is here. You know, we pray and I work with African leaders, of course, but we do that aspect. But most of the time, my mind is always focused on the place of assignment. So the Lord spoke about Nigeria, and then the Lord spoke about here. About Nigeria, he really was bringing an awareness that without, I know people are praying in Nigeria, but without serious prayer, Nigeria is getting very close. Something major is about to happen there that is going to cause a major shaking in the country. And I know since last year, March, there's nothing I've spoken to you here, or God has shown that has not happened so far. But I understood it, whether he spoke it or not. There are times come, they happen. So there's a shaking, you know, coming, and we should pray for Nigeria. People are praying, but it's something that has come to its climax and is about to explode. So let me not focus on that. The other was about America and where the nation is and what is happening. And what the Lord shared with me about America, I shared with them at the meeting. And explained the atmosphere of the nation, the spiritual with DC, and explained what the timing of the Lord right now. And explain exactly the position where God is taking the nation in this time of judgment. After I shared that, I came back home. On Sunday, we rested because we came late Sunday. On Monday, I opened my phone and I looked at a message from the Intercessors for America, and I watched a particular video. And when I opened that video, exactly what God was telling me was on number two of the item of a news that came from the World Economic Forum. That's something most of you might not be aware, some people here might be. But the reason I brought this is, last year, March, going towards, I think, April, June, the Lord showed about this. When he showed me about COVID getting worse in December, in the fall or winter time, 2 days from that time, it was front page news. And now we're leaving it out. The reason I said this is, it's becoming more frequent that what God reveals, he will bring it out in the news item that connects to the reality of that thing. The people that have the authority to speak in that direction. So the Lord confirmed clearly that what he was showing about this nation as a confirmation. As far as the direction and the timing, we can discuss that later. It would take me too much time to explain what God revealed about the nation. If you watch Hope Channel, I shared some of it on there, and I will continue to go deeper in that direction. But the reason I shared these two prophetic words, and the reason I share what I said about the change of atmosphere, is because I want each of us to benefit from this change. My life is changing, and God is helping me become more partaker of the finished work of the cross. And this morning, I want to challenge you to begin to step into a higher ground. And so, I want us to look at Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Where now this relates to you. Matthew chapter 10. And when he had called unto him his what?
12 disciples.
His 12 disciples. Everybody say disciples.
Disciples.
Many times, when we come to church and people are sharing what God did through them, prophecy or this or healing or that, many times in our mind we're like, no, it's because it's the preacher, or it's because it's this, because it's that, because it's that. My Bible says, as long as we're disciples, power is available. Because we are all children of God, sons of God. Amen?
Amen.
God doesn't want us to be looking to men. That's why he says, I pour out my spirit upon all flesh.
Yes, God.
What God can do with men or different categories of calling, like the fivefold ministry, is to sharpen iron to sharpen iron. This is not the day for, God is not calling me or calling us. There is this day where one person wants to attract attention to themselves. I am this, I am that, I can do this. No, God is calling us to disciple everybody to be mature sons of God. Mature children of God. Amen? Because the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in every one of us. It's very easy to be that person everybody looks to. It's very easy. People like it. It's difficult to train people to depend on God.
Jesus.
Very difficult.
Jesus.
So in Matthew chapter 10, it says, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them what?
Power.
He gave them power against unclean spirits. To do what?
To cast them out.
To cast them out. And to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. My brothers and sisters, this was before Jesus died and was risen from the dead. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody that is born again, anywhere, born again, born of God, was born of the Spirit. You have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. The level to which you understand that Spirit might be different levels. The level to which you understand the capacity of that Spirit might be different levels. But it's the same Spirit. Paul says, if the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that spirit can quicken, can give you life.
Yes.
But today, the area we want to focus on is this. One of the things that I came back with. I already shared what benefited me. God is settling the area of prophecy in my life. That's, I just shared that to you. But in terms of the area now that I'm sharing with you that I want all of us to take advantage of is, everybody say power.
Power.
How many of you know that the Holy Spirit inside of you is power?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So, every one of us has power inside of us. Amen?
Yes.
Whether we turn this light on or not, there's power in this house.
Amen.
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 So, Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus called unto his disciples. Disciples mean people in training. Amen.
Amen.
Every one of us who are what? In training. And he says, I give them power. I against. That's the word that got my attention. The word against is a confrontational word. It says, before you receive power, the devil runs our life.
Jesus.
You are at work. Somebody gets jealous because you have a degree. Somebody gets jealous because you're performing. And he manipulates and goes around and finds a way to get rid of you. So if you're in the world, you don't know what to do. You don't know why that is happening. But what do? The next thing, the boss calls you, they say this, they say that, you lose your job. And you start looking for another job. Amen?
Amen.
The difference now is this. As believers, we used to allow that. But God says, power has changed.
Amen.
In the spirit, he says, I am your father. I am now in control. I want you to trust me by faith and live like you are in charge. So, for example, before, if you're a believer or before you're a believer, something like that happens. If you like that job and you know you're enjoying that job and you know that job is paying you, but somehow, some reason, you're being getting rid of. From this scripture, God says, I have given you power against that.
Amen.
What he's saying is, you have power to go against that spirit.
Amen.
Unknown to us, Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Yes.
There are people, jealous spirit attracts jealous things.
Yes.
All these things are provoked by the God of this world. And if people are fleshly, they open the door for the enemy to abuse or negate or take advantage of believers. So now God is saying, it is time now to know you have what? Power against. Not your power, but he said, now the Holy Ghost is for you, who can be against you? In other words, if God is for you, now you take authority. That's where faith comes. So, for example, something like that happens. You go into your prayer closet, you go into your room, and says, Father, I have favor with you. I'm under the blood, I'm your son. So, right now, I come against that spirit that is taking my job. I rebuke it. I can't lose that job. That job, I bind that spirit.
Yes,
and I cast it off.
Yes,
whomever. Yes, that spirit in control.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And I thank you, Father, because that job is mine.
Amen.
And you can even go further. Because of that challenge, I asked for promotion.
Amen.
Now, you might think I'm playing with words.
No.
It's happening to me.
Yes.
So when you pray that way, you've never done that before. What do you think it will do to you? In the next few days or few weeks, they call you back and say, oh, sorry. Because everything will always come like normal.
Mm-hmm.
It was a mistake that okay, well, it's all. But you know where the change came.
Jesus.
What will that do to your faith?
Jesus.
It changes your position and formation. Power against. Name any situation that you know is your right, and you know you're being violated. The Bible says you have power now against not the person but the spirit behind it.
Jesus.
It is the time of the favor of the Lord.
Amen.
And God now is for us. He has forgiven our sin, and he says, I am for you. Who can be against you?
Yes.
Now you have power against them, against that, against this. I wish it's just that we're on Facebook.
Mm.
I would have shared some things with you. There's just too much you just can't get out of a public network. But it's time for us to begin to know we have power against.
Amen.
If you do it on your own, it's not going to work. If you do it on your own strength, but God is now saying, you have my spirit. I am for you. Things have changed hand in the spirit. Now you can take authority over that situation. Mm-hmm. You cannot accept everything the world puts on you anymore.
Okay.
Because it's God's time to judge.
Amen.
It's God's time to deal. Mm-hmm. And if you take a stand for him, he will take a stand for you.
Hallelujah.
That's where we are.
Amen.
And you know why I'm saying that God is, why I call this trip tremendously a breakthrough, is because God is consolidating his word in my spirit. And it's and because of where we're going, as God begins to speak and give, we are Mount Zion, we are come to the place where, as God is speaking, we have no choice but to obey.
Amen.
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 So don't be surprised because of the things we'll be praying and doing. Let me give you a good example. A few weeks ago, and you all know this, the situation, God revealed that there was crisis coming to the nation. And we called for prayer, isn't it?
Yeah.
A lot of people, because of our human thinking, we say, oh, it's not the prayers this people pray that change that thing. Let me tell you, if the prayer we prayed there wasn't effective, God didn't need to tell us to do it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If four lepers can do something because they stepped into the place God wants them, and God did that because of four lepers, how much more when the Spirit of God says, I want to pray through you to address a situation that will, America will not be where we are talking today. You all know it. I met with some pastors, they didn't know what God did, but every one of them, they are not children, they said, only God knew what he did, America would have been born right now.
Yes.
Everybody knows that. Every child knows that. The conflict was clear.
Yeah.
If this went the way it was going, we would not be talking right now.
Mm-hmm.
God stopped it just like that.
Yeah.
Because of hearing in the spirit and obeying the physical. That's the kind of authority we're talking about. So when I'm telling you that God is saying, from now on, let's stop talking too much. Let's start doing. How can we have this power and one little boy, one little girl in our office is tormenting our lives and making life of here? God says, now begin to stop it. Begin to exercise power against. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not telling you to start fighting for what you're not qualified for. I'm just saying, submit to God, resist the devil, and he what? That's another principle God is teaching me. He says, some things will come as human, some things will come as lack, some things will come. Begin to take authority over lack. I'm fixing something. I never had money for it. And the thing became so expensive, I was like, because I will tell you, I was almost like getting to a place I almost complained. I'm not going to need this place. Why is it? I mean, they are required. So after God just said, who is in charge? Because the money just went. And I remember it. So God used some people to go. That testimony, I remember, I said, okay, God, ever since I calmed down and submitted and started now, the second part I wanted to say before we close is confessing what God says about the situation.
Amen.
I started confessing. It's done. This video will be done.
Amen.
The next day, this person gave me a list, all they will do and all these thousands. I say it will be done.
Amen.
But I'll tell Isaiah, see another bill. She saw it. She saw the last one they sent. She was like, wow, so you're saying the truth. It's turned to a whole house, but it was God testing. It was a practice. We cannot be preaching and a little thing come and God say, practice with that one.
Oh,
so I started saying, God is done. It's done. And he gave me peace, and he's doing one piece at a time. My brothers and sisters, I will not be a changed man today with what God spoke and he did in this sea if I listen to the voices when God said go to this sea. Sometimes God has prepared something for us, but we're looking at the Syrian army. The mistake you make is go when God is not saying to go. When the atmosphere has not changed, when God is not, things are like Esther. If Esther went when they have not broken through in the spirit, she will be dead.
That's true.
But when you now know God has said the breakthrough, God has given you a word, God wants you to be like Abraham. After that encounter with Abraham, God said, Abraham, stop calling yourself a man without children. Stop calling yourself the father of nations. And he started calling things that be not as they. He started speaking what God says. Amen?
Amen.
So it's time for us. When I have things scratching my leg or something, or whatever situation I have, I confess the word of God.
Amen.
I speak the word of God. I keep speaking the word of God. No matter what I go through, God is calling us now to speak what he says about the situation.
Amen.
To confront, we have power against. Don't go by your feelings. Feelings will be there. But as you, like Abraham, keep saying, keep believing, keep speaking to that mountain, the word of God, keep believing, keep confessing, things will eventually transform.
Amen.
Amen.
Because the Bible says, nothing is impossible to them. So my brothers and sisters, we are in the atmosphere where the government of God is in control. God is now back for us. Now he's asking us by faith to start speaking like him. Don't pray and say, breakthrough, come, and the next minute I go out here. Of course, my mind is worrying about where the money will come from, where all this, but then I should not speak it. I should say, it's done.
Amen.
The provision will come. Amen. And I will speak the word of God. Your feelings will come, your mind, all those things, but as long as you don't speak against what God says, it's already the atmosphere. So my brothers and sisters, I really benefited from obeying God to this. The part of the benefit I'm sharing with you this morning, let us reduce too much talking. Let us begin to act. No matter how small, begin to prove God. In Malachi, he said, prove me. Try me. That's God speaking. He's saying, try me. So let us begin to, no matter the things we know that are impossible, let us begin to at your work, anywhere, whatever happens, begin to exercise power against. It's inside of you. You might not see the first time you speak. You things might not change the second time. You might things might, but just keep. I have a favor with God. You are for me now. How can this be against me? You are for me now. How can this rule me? You are for me now. How can this judge me? You are for me now. So if you are for me, I have power against this. I have power against this. That's what God is saying. I am giving you power against. And to make matters worse, you know what God called every spirit, including Satan, unclean spirit. My brothers and sisters, as we close, when God reversed the handwriting in the days of Esther, they still had to fight. They've already reversed in their favor, but they still had to conquer the enemy. Joshua, they still had to possess the land. So as we take communion today, I want us to take it in agreement with the Holy Spirit. Some of you are afraid of darkness, dark environment. I want to encourage you with this word. Begin to pray. Anything you're afraid of, you know, some, I used to be afraid of dark places until that changed years ago in my former place. If you're afraid of that, just pray. Believe this word. Things have changed. Receive faith comes by hearing. And walk around where you're afraid of and say, I'm light. God, your light. God, your power. I carry the power of God. I have power against darkness. I have power against this. If you have nightmare, when you wake up, you rebuke that spirit. And you say, you begin to pray and say, God, let the fire of your jealousy destroy the source of this altar. Destroy the source of this nightmare. Because you've given me power against unclean spirits that come and pervert our dreams. You have power against. So from today, don't fight in your strength. Don't do things in your strength. Begin to rely on the Holy Ghost to help you against things.
Amen.
And see what God does.
Amen.
So as you take communion, renew your partnership with the Holy Spirit. Jesus sent him to help us because we can't do this. He says, I will not leave you without comfort. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
He sent the Holy Spirit to help us. So if you have your communion, I want us to, Kizaya, please come. I want us to pray this morning. God gave me power against the walls of opposition in my mind to go to this. Only to get there, God was waiting for me to lead the miracle I have today. I pray against everything that comes against you, that today you know you have received power.
Amen.
And that power is ever present inside of you.
Amen.
To help you against
Amen.
Whatever.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So you seek the Lord. This is discipleship. To look and say, I'm giving you power and authority over all devils. Look again, 11. He says, I'm giving you power to trample serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. My brothers and sisters, we are going somewhere. Hopefully we'll get to the place where I can freely speak to this house about the fear of COVID. Let us begin to graduate levels by levels. God is calling us somewhere. Amen. Please hear my word. Hear it from. I wish I went into what God showed to me about my. COVID is not going anywhere. It's gone. But it's going to end up being like normal flu.
Amen.
The whole purpose for it is because you are going to be worked into vaccination. You're not going to go anywhere. The world is going somewhere. If we don't understand seasons and enter into a place with God, the world is carrying us somewhere. Only faith is going to go the other way. And we'll get there.
Amen.
I'm just following what God is doing to get us where we are ready for some true confrontation. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
But please, I pray that you don't be afraid of COVID. Take all the precautions, but don't fear what God has already defeated.
Amen.
Even right now, you can take anything to overcome it. So it's not even something that shook. Anyway, we'll continue.
Amen.
God bless you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
good word. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We have power against.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So today we are just going to trust God. This morning the Lord woke me up with an old hymn. Oh Jesus, I have promised to serve you to the end. And there's a line there that says, I shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side, nor wander from the pathway if thou will be my guide.
Hallelujah.
We shall not fear the battle.
Amen.
Because we have power against.
Yes, Lord.
And the Lord was speaking to me 2 weeks ago about spirits that subjugate you, suppress you, oppress you, and you take it.
Jesus.
You excuse it.
Jesus.
You pat it on the back.
Jesus.
And the Lord was telling me, rise up and address those spirits. It's not the people, it's the spirits behind them. And so let's rise up. God has given us power against.
Amen.
Against those spirits that come to oppress you, suppress you, subjugate you, silence you, put you down. Rise up against those spirits.
Yeah.
Not against the people.
Yeah.
Against those spirits.
Yeah.
Father, we thank you.
Thank you.
We thank you. That songwriter says, you are my master and my friend.
Yes.
You are indeed our master that has called us to yourself to be co-heirs with you. You've called us. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead is resident in us.
Thank you, Lord.
And he says, if that power is in us, he will quicken our mortal bodies. Today, Father, we come in repentance that you have deposited such power in us, and we've allowed the enemy to cower us, to bring us down, to subjugate us, and to silence us. Today, oh God, as a people, together, as a team, we rise up in the spirit.
Amen.
We rise up and we occupy our place of
Amen.
Power. We say, no more will the enemy intimidate us.
Amen.
No more will the enemy put us down.
Amen.
No more will the enemy silence us.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus,
Amen.
We arise in power.
Yes, Lord.
Power against every unclean spirit.
Amen.
Everything that does not honor you is an unclean thing.
Amen.
Help us to be sensitive in the spirit.
Amen.
To see when those things are.
Yes,
and
Lord.
To speak against them in the nation,
yes,
in our families,
yes,
in our lives,
yes,
in our jobs, in every situation.
Amen.
Give us that voice.
Jesus.
To rise up and thunder like our Father thunders.
Yes, Lord.
So today we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
We are reminded as we take communion,
yes,
that you have made us one body with
thank you.
You,
Lord.
As you are, so are we in this world.
Yes, Lord.
Help us to reach there, O God.
Amen.
Take us by the hand, O God.
Amen.
Help us to be like you are.
Amen.
We receive this communion with gratitude.
Yes, Lord.
We receive the word that you've given to us today with gratitude.
Amen.
Let there be a transformation in our lives.
Amen.
As we take communion, let it be a seal that those things you said are real.
Amen.
And we begin to walk in them.
Amen.
We receive with gratitude.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Let's take the word of God.
The reason the Spirit of the Lord led this word is because we face challenges every day. We have needs. We are human. We live in a practical world. But God is saying, I've given me my spirit to help you.
Amen.
To overcome.
Thank you, Lord.
And God is saying, I want them to know more that I am here to help.
Amen.
If you trust him, he's here to help.
Amen.
And to give us victory.
Amen.
To help us overcome.
Amen.
We have to do it by faith.
Amen.
There is nothing that quenches God more than unbelief.
Yes.
So this morning, renew your covenant with the Lord of faith. It says, as often as we take this, we do it in remembrance of what is done for us. Father, thank you. For me, this is the area God is growing in my spirit. It's a lamp in the flesh. But he says he's a lion in the spirit. He says, so are you. Be humble. Be so humble and meek. But you are a ruler. A joint heir. When lion walk the street, other animals flee. Because the wicked ones, when nobody's chasing him, not my children. He said, walk like lion. Father, help us. We thank you for this blood that has made us heirs to your throne. We thank you for this blood that has given us access to your spirit. The one that lives 24/7. You said, if you be for us, Emmanuel, who can be against us? Father, faith comes by hearing. Help us not to be just hearers only. Help us to believe these things.
Amen.
And take little steps.
Yes, Lord.
So that our faith can grow.
Amen.
Our confidence in you can grow.
Amen.
Because you are faithful.
Yes, Lord.
And have called us.
Yes, Lord.
So thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
We renew our confidence in the blood. The power of the blood. The victory of the blood.
Amen.
And the presence of your spirit.
Amen.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
Help us, oh God, to be what you've called us to be. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah.